Recall, I was about 10 years old. It was that moment where I had just given my life to Christ, and I felt just something just powerful just overtake me. There was just extreme joy, this overwhelming kind of joy. But without community, without a church, this young boy's relationship with God began to drift away. I mean, far away. Up until, I would say, my late 20s. But during all that time in between, I still had this longing to be reconnected with God. I had this longing to have that fellowship with Him. I just didn't know how or where to begin. And one day I showed up in a church just like this one, very similar. And the pastor was preaching his message. And it was that moment where I had just felt that recommitment with Christ right there. And I made it a point. I said, you know what? I am going all in. There is nothing going to hold me back. I'm in completely. Amen. I joined all sorts of ministries. I was in Kids Hope, where I'd visit these kids that were having broken homes. Or, you know, there was this one family where a young boy had witnessed his father just murdered during all that drug cartel. And I would spend time with him, just kind of mentoring, just loving on him. And we'd do this. And then I got involved with we called it Casas por Cristo. That means houses for Christ, where you'd go out there in Mexico and you build homes for people that were in just shacks, places you wouldn't even think they would consider home. I was just involved, mission trips. I was gone for a month at a time. I was just so involved. I was all in. I was so excited to have this real relationship with God. I made a commitment from that point forward to live for Him no matter what, and that nothing, absolutely nothing, would get in the way. Up until I encountered this thing called temptation. I wasn't counting on that. And it seemed like the closer I was getting to God, the harder these temptations were coming at me. Temptations to give up. Temptations to give in. Temptations to go back to the way that I used to live. It was just coming at me in so many different kind of ways. And I may not know where each of you are in your relation to God, but when you decide to go all in for Him and hold nothing back, let me tell you, you are going to encounter temptations. And before I go further, let me clarify something, because when it comes to temptations, there is always something more at stake than you think. Because nowadays, the word temptation is just, it's often made light of. It's kind of like, oh, well, it's a dessert that I'm tempted with. But in the Bible, temptation is not about a fattening dessert or petty indulgences. What's at stake is so much more. And so how do we handle them? How can we overcome temptations in our life? How can we avoid driving off the exit ramp of destruction instead of being on the road that God has called us to be on? In this series, All In, we're looking at different snapshots in the life of Jesus. And today we're going to see how Jesus responds when He is being tempted at His weakest, most vulnerable state. Now, don't think that He's being tempted by some junior minion or junior demons or anything like that. No, Jesus was being tempted by Satan himself, the big boss, El Diablo. Okay? Now, here's a disclaimer for all you highly intellectuals out there. The devil is not a figure of speech, nor a symbol of evil. He is real. He exists. He is an enemy of God. He is the enemy of your soul, who wants nothing more than to kill, steal, and destroy. And I know it may seem weird to many of you, especially when you envision this red dude with a pimp-like goatee, and it's hard to picture that. But make no mistake about it. You have a real enemy. You were born into a real war. And there's a war going on over where, when, and how you will live your life here on earth. And there is a war going on where you will spend your eternity. There's a war between good and bad, good and evil. I mean, think about it. All you have to do is just look in the world that we live in right now. I mean, just news is just constant. It's just constant. I recently read this. Young teenagers is walking along the lake and they see a man drowning, and instead of calling for help, instead of getting in there to help, you know what they did? They're recording the guy, laughing, mocking him. You think, what in the world is going on? Went fishing the other day. Went up on shore. The guy was saying, hey, did you hear about the, think about the conversations. Hey, did you hear that this is the, right about the areas where the man killed his wife. You know, he wanted, he took out a life insurance policy and he did, and it came out and I was like, when did this happen? Oh, this happened recently. It was just all over the news. And so think about it. Is it really impossible to believe that there is a source to all this evil? Well, this was something that Jesus was able to overcome. So let's witness how he does it. If you can, grab hold of your Bibles. Let's open them up to Luke 4, verses 1 and 2. And we're going to see how Jesus does just this. We're going to also have the verses up here on the screen, or they're also in your bulletins. So let's look at Luke 4, verse 1, 2. Here's what it says. Then Jesus, he was full of the Holy Spirit. He returned from the Jordan River. This is where he was just baptized. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. So the verse says, then Jesus. In other words, this temptation began immediately after he was baptized. It says, when Jesus was full, when he was led by the Spirit. So it's like the more Jesus is filled by the Holy Spirit, the more it's attracting these forces of darkness. And what this means for us is that temptations are inevitable. Because sometimes we start to believe that we're doing something wrong when we're being tempted. That we shouldn't have these kind of thoughts, or we shouldn't have these kind of feelings, or we shouldn't be feeling these kinds of pressure. But we look at Jesus, and it says that when God was pleased with him, it says, this is my son who I am very well pleased with. He's filled with the Spirit. He's being led by the Spirit. This is where he's been tempted the most. It says for 40 days, for 40 nights, nonstop. So expect to be tempted, especially when you're growing closer to God. Now the Bible records for us four different tests Jesus endured. So let's look at each one of these. Here's number one. If you're taking notes, when you are being tempted, this is what's going to be tested, your maturity. Your maturity. Now, what's maturity? Maturity is to be able to postpone the immediate pleasure for long-term values. Okay? It's not getting impulsive. It's having patience. It's not this attitude where I got to have it now. You know, when I first just kind of realized this, that even as adults, we have this issue, it was when I was a waiter at the Marriott. And we had this special going on, and we never have people eating at this restaurant. And so all of a sudden, we had this influx of all sorts of people because we had this special with prime rib. And so the tables were full, and we were out there just hustling. But before you know it, we ran out of prime rib. And I went up to the table. The chef said, hey, we're out. I can probably get some more, but it's going to be an hour. But just let people know that we're out. And so I went up to this one table and I said, it was a whole family. And I said, sir, I'm sorry, but we're out of prime rib. Can I offer you something else? The guy just blew up, started cussing, and now, wow, what is this? And he just got up and stormed off with his whole family. They were just kind of looking like, what in the world's going on? In my mind, I was like, wow, I mean, this guy had to have this thing now. It just blew my mind. Well, there was this other table with a bunch of CEOs and presidents, and they ordered the very same thing. So I went back to the kitchen. I said, chef, I just got chewed out, and there's a table full of these other dudes, and I know the same thing's going to happen. I think you need to go out there. And he said, no, no. Basically, that's your job. He said, offer them something else. I go, yeah, we got to offer them something else, because if they're just focused on this prime rib, we're in trouble. He said, well, I was like, well, what could we offer them? He said, well, offer them some catfish. Catfish? Prime rib? Just do it. That's what we have right now. And so I started thinking, man, I got to figure out a way to do this. So I thought, you know what? Kitchen, load me plates of catfish, fill them up right now. And so they loaded up the tray, and I picked it up, and I carried it up, and I set it out, and there's this table, and they're looking at me like all hungry, like, man, bring out that prime rib. So I put my napkin over it, and I said, being that you guys have been so patient and such wonderful clients, I'm going to do something I never do at work. On the side, I do some magic. I'm a magician. And I'm going to turn this tray full of prime ribs into catfish. They laughed. It went a little easier, but I think it had more to do with just the focus and that they were hungry and they wanted something because they had to have it now. But it was almost like, we don't know how to wait. Nor do we want to wait. And it's with everything. You hear it all the time. Why should I wait till I'm married to have sex? Why wait to save to buy this when I can have it right now? Why wait for a home-cooked meal when I can have fast food now? Why wait for anything when we can have it now? That's a form of immaturity. And if you think about it, almost every problem in society is rooted in this immaturity to be unable to wait, to delay gratification. But being mature, that's having the character to delay this gratification, to delay pleasure now for something greater later. Look how Jesus handles this form of temptation. Verse 2-3. Jesus ate nothing at all this time. Some of you, you ate breakfast a couple of hours ago. You're already ready for lunch. You want me to end now? Jesus ate nothing at all. 40 days, 40 nights. So he's very hungry. And the devil said to him, if you're the Son of God, why don't you just turn these stones into a loaf of bread? And so here's a picture. Jesus is fasting. And so naturally, he's very hungry. In fact, he's probably hangry at this point. And Satan comes in, and he says, hey, Jesus, why don't you just take the easy way out? I mean, come on, you're the Son of God. You've got power. I know you got some power. Why don't you just turn these stones into a Subway sandwich? Satisfy your hunger right now. And I think if we were to have read that, many of us would say, oh, what's the big deal? I mean, hey, Jesus was hungry. I mean, heck, if I can turn stones into bread, I would have turned those stones into some bread, but some of that money bread is what I would have done. So what's the big deal? But see, this wasn't about rocks and bread. This wasn't even about self-control or hunger. The issue here is that no matter how dire or urgent the situation may be in your life, can you trust your Heavenly Father to provide for you even if you have to wait? Can you trust your Heavenly Father even if you have to wait for His provisions? See, every time you're tempted, your faith and confidence in God is at stake. The test for Jesus was not to wait on God, but to meet his own needs. Your test will be, will you trust God to meet your needs, or are you going to rush to satisfy them on your own? Are you going to do it your way? Whenever you're faced with an urgent need, maybe it's something that you're going through right now, ask yourself this question right here. Is God big enough to meet this need? Does he care enough about me to meet this need, to address this need in my life? Whether it be loneliness, whether it be a need for intimacy, whether it's something to do in your marriage, your finances, whether it's work-related, can you wait on God, or will you force things to happen on your own? And if you do go that route, if you choose to do it on your own instead of relying on God, you better be prepared to end up disappointed. You better be prepared to even make the situation, your current situation, worse. Why? Because we can't turn stones into bread. We just can't. But what we should do and what we can do is instead trust God, just like Jesus did. To trust that God will provide. You trust in him. When things get urgent, when things get dire, when things don't seem to make sense, that's what Jesus did. He trusted God. Look at his reply, verse 4. Jesus told him, "No, I ain't going to turn stones into bread. Scripture says people do not live by bread alone." Jesus says, there is something more important to me than having my desires instantly gratified. And for you and me, there is so much more to life than to just have our satisfies, just instantly, our cravings, our urges, just satisfied instantly. There's so much more to that. See, true satisfaction happens when you're living in God's favor. True satisfaction happens when you experience God's will in your life. True satisfaction happens when you get to experience his miracle provisions in your life. It's something you definitely don't want to miss. So whatever it may be, whatever it's causing you to want to give in, settle it right now in your mind that God knows, that he cares, and that he will provide. And here's something else that'll be tested. Your loyalty. Your loyalty to God will be tested whenever you're tempted. That's the next thing Satan tempts Jesus with. Look at verse 5, 7. Then the devil took him up, revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world at a moment of time. He says, "I can give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority right over them because they're mine to give to anyone I please. And I can give it all to you if you worship me." Satan says, "Jesus, you want all the world leaders to bow down before you. All the billions of people throughout the world to bow down. You want the glory, fame, power. I can give that all to you without the cross. You don't need to be abandoned. You don't need to be betrayed. You don't need to be beaten. You don't need to be crucified. I can give you the crown without the cross if you worship me. And you don't even have to worship me for just the rest of your life. Just do it once. Just break your loyalty with God once. And you'll have it all. Just worship me for one instance." Do you see that temptation is really a worship issue? We don't think it is. But worship is not only what happens here at church. It's what we do every day. What we look at is a form of worship. What we say is an act of worship. How we act is a form of worship. Every time you sin is an act of worship. Your life is an act of worship either for or against the glory of God. And whenever you're being tempted, let me tell you something. Whenever you're being tempted, do not think that Satan is wanting you to become an atheist. Don't think he's wanting you to turn against your Heavenly Father forever. That's not what he wants. He says, "Yeah, love Jesus. Yes, you can love Jesus. But you know what? Love porn just a little. Sure, you can love Jesus. Have Jesus. But love money just a little. Love drugs just a little. Love gossip just a teeny bit. Love laziness just a little. And in fact, love Jesus, but why not be religious all at the same time? Be self-righteous. You can have the best of both worlds. You can love Jesus and look down on people. See, Satan just wants you to take your eyes off of God for just a moment, just a minute, and forget about your loyalty to Him. And whenever your loyalty to God begins to waver and you're tempted to wonder if He's with you, this is the test. Will you trade what is important for what's immediate? Jesus faced the same test. Look at verse 8. Scripture says, this is how Jesus replied. Scripture says, you must worship the Lord your God and serve Him and only Him. For Jesus, the immediate was to bail out on us, to bail out on the cross, to avoid that suffering. But see, his mission, his loyalty to God was most important. And so he never broke it. He never took his eyes off it. His loyalty to God, his loyalty to his heavenly Father was always there. And you know what the reward was in the end? You know what Jesus' reward was in the end? He gets everything. He's given all authority in heaven and on earth. See, temptation is not just a test of self-control. It's a test of where your loyalty lies. Here's this, what else will be tested when you're tempted. Your integrity. Your integrity. What's integrity? Integrity is if your belief matches your behavior. Integrity is what you do in public. It's the same thing you do in private. Jesus was tempted to lack integrity. Verses 9, 11. Look what happens. Devil took him to Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple. He said, if you are the Son of God, jump off. Scripture says he will order his angels to protect and guard you, and then he will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Now, if you notice, first two temptations, Jesus is quoting Scripture. Now, all of a sudden, Satan wants to be in this game. He wants to quote Scripture, too. He's quoting something from Psalm 90. The only thing is that he's trying to twist things for his own benefit. He's taking these verses out of context. He's saying, go out, disobey God, do whatever you want. He's going to protect you anyway. He was trying to manipulate God's word to benefit him. Have you found yourself doing something like that? In other words, do you presume on God? Do you assume beforehand that God's going to take care of it? Hey, there's this car that I want to get and it doesn't fit my finances, but God loves me. He wants me happy and he'll help me pay for it. You find yourself doing that? Temptation is this, to do whatever we want, even if it's wrong, and that God's going to come through and bail us out. Do you presume on God? Do you try and corner him? Do you test him? It's like I read of this teenager up in Philly who his dad was a judge. Thought he can get away with anything. Committing all sorts of crimes. Hey, my dad's a judge. He'll get me out. Sure enough, he got caught. And we ask ourselves, if his dad's a judge, and if he's a good father, would he bail him out of all these instances? Or would he try and teach him a lesson? Well, he thought, because my dad is a judge, he'll get me out. And those are some pretty big assumptions. And that's what Satan's trying to do with Jesus. He's saying, he's your father. You can do whatever you want. But look how Jesus responds. Verse 12. It says, Scripture also says, you must not test the Lord your God. And that goes for us too. We should never test the Lord our God. Never try to force his hand. Never try and make God be our servant. And so here's a test. Will you cooperate with him, or are you going to try manipulating him? You're going to cooperate with God, you're going to manipulate him. Because let me tell you, if you're going to try manipulating God, you're going to spend your whole life disappointed because it ain't going to happen. You can't force his hand. See, one thing that I've noticed with most people is that when they've got this idea of, I'm going to go to church, I'm going to worship, I'm going to even give, but I'm going to expect something in return, and that something doesn't happen, what do those people usually do? Stop coming. They stop worshiping. If this is all I'm going to get, forget that. That's what happens when someone doesn't fully cooperate with God. You're going to set yourself up for disappointments. And so from the temptation of Jesus, what we see here is whenever we're tempted, our maturity, our loyalty, our integrity will be tested. And here's the last one, number four. Your resolve. Your perseverance. Verse 13. When the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him up until the next opportunity came. Man, even though Jesus had experienced this intense battle, he would have to face Satan again. In fact, he did in the Garden of Gethsemane, right before he was crucified. What does this mean for us? That we will never outgrow temptations. We're going to have to deal with it for the rest of our lives. Can it get tiring? Can it be exhausting? For sure. Especially when it's the same old temptations, right? Same old battles we've been doing for years. But let us not forget this. That temptations is not just a chance to do something bad, but it's also an opportunity to glorify God. It's also an opportunity to grow spiritually. Temptations can be a stepping stone to grow rather than a stumbling block to sin. And so the test is this for you. Will you stand firm in God's power, or will you give in? See, many of us, we've been battling the same old struggles for years, and we've got this belief that we're never going to overcome it, and we're never going to have victory over it. And so even we'll make excuses for it. Hey, I struggle with this because, well, my dad struggled with it, and it's genetics. That's when your resolve is tested. When you believe God and His promises to give you victory and that He can deliver you from these temptations, will you stand firm in God's power or will you give in? Look what happens after Jesus was tempted. Verse 14. Then Jesus returned to Galilee filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Have you noticed that? Verse 1. Jesus filled by the Spirit. He's on his way to do his ministry. He's tempted for 40 days, 40 nights. And then now verse 14, it says, after an intense battle with the enemy, he still has the power of the Holy Spirit. And he's still on his way to do ministry. Jesus stayed firm. He didn't give in to weariness. He was a man with a focus. He was a man on his mission. You know what that mission was? To save us. And not just to save us, but to also give us the power and to show us how to overcome our deepest struggles. So please don't miss this. How many times, and we think about this, how many times when we've been tempted, these thoughts come to mind, do they not? Our families, our work, our loved ones, our own personal life, our future is at stake. And many times we still fall. Even with those thoughts of the things we love the most, people we love the most, we still fall. Not Jesus. In the midst of the most difficult temptation he had ever faced, before hanging on the cross, before the torture, before the pain, before separated from his heavenly Father, there was someone he was completely loyal to. And there was someone he would never betray. And that person was you. His love for you. To have a relationship with you. To want to save you. To want to have a closeness with you. You were on his mind. And if that isn't love, then I don't know what is. And if that doesn't move you, I don't know what will. See, Jesus already did the hard part. The only thing we have to do, the only thing we need to do is to receive Him, to put our faith in Him, to put our trust in Jesus. To believe with all your heart that He not only saves us, but He gives us the power to get through any kind of temptation that we may face. Would you bow your heads for prayer? Father, I just want to take this moment to, first of all, thank You. Thank You for Your love for us, that You would send Your only Son to live the life that we should have lived, to do the things we should have done, to handle temptations the way we should handle them, and to die and suffer the way that we should have suffered. But You love us so much. And maybe there's someone here today that has never received this kind of love. If you just want to take this moment right now to say, to just surrender your life to God, now is the time to do it. Now is the time to give your life to the only One who truly loves you, who would never betray you. Now is the time to do it. God, I pray for every person here that whatever temptations they are facing, they know the deepest struggles. May they always be loyal to You. May they stand firm against these temptations, and may they always put Your love before themselves. Thank You, Jesus, for giving us the way. Thank You for showing us and for giving us the power to do such a thing. We love You, and we pray this in Your holy name. Amen.